Hello, everyone. This is Rochelle Farrow. Welcome to my show. This is our first live show here at www.bbsradio.com, and we had a little bit of a technical error as we do on live shows, so this is going to be a great show. We have a wonderful guest today. I'd like to welcome Jose Antonio Aceguera. And he is a writer, a director, and a producer, and a filmmaker as well. He wrote and directed and acted in a short film called Pesos, which is absolutely wonderful in its integrity about talking about the truth of what happens to people as they try to cross the border from Mexico to the United States. So welcome. Hello?
Hello, yes.
Welcome. Welcome to the show.
Thank you very much, Rochelle. Thank you, and I'm glad to be in your show again. Probably we can tell your audience there a little bit more about this issue, people crossing the border and whatever they want to know about Mexico, a little bit about Mexican culture and of the history that I've been working for so many years. Thank you.
And thank you, and I just so appreciate your integrity in the truth that's in this film. First off, why don't you tell people about the film?
Well, we made this film. It's a short film, a 25-minute short film. We made this film. We finished this film December 2005, and it's just a little bit about what is happening there in the border, right in the middle of the border, you know. We don't make a big story because we have no more money for to make a long film to tell the whole story. So we choose four different stories in the short film and we put it together over there. And it's you see this film, you watched the film before. It's we have these specific things that we as a Mexican, we as an immigrant, think that are really tough once you become an immigrant and attempt to cross the border. There is people there, it's been raped, people being killed over there, people dying in the desert when they get disoriented in the desert. So we have four different things about that over there specifically. It's a very raw project. We have a very, raw scenes over there about the reality, the crudeness over there.
What moved you to make such a film? Because it is very raw, and it was actually very hard for me to watch, especially there was a particular scene in which you acted in, a rape scene, in which a little boy was taken from his mother and put out in the desert to the side while his mother was brutally attacked and raped by two men, one of which did not want to go through with the rape but felt pressured to do so by his peer. But I'm just wondering, what inside of you actually moved you to make this film?
Well, first of all, I'm an immigrant. I've been living in this country for the last 16 years. I'm 32 years old. So half of my life living in this country, I remember because I crossed the border and the same thing, crossing, running, and everything. Thank God my situation is different now, but so many thousands of people is doing the same thing right now. With me, because I know the reality about how many things you have to do to find out a little bit more freedom in this country, from your country, because you are escaping for your country from not dying of hunger, or the government is going to kill you because there's so many bad things happening over there, corruption and all that stuff. So even though I was 16 years old when I came from my country, by that age, I saw all those things over there. Once I came here, I went to the school, to the film school and everything, and all the time I have that idea to do something like this, because I want to tell the general market also, besides my people, that there's not only immigration agents doing bad stuff against our people, it's Mexican people doing bad things against Mexican people to widen the border. As you can see in the show film, I don't put any immigration issues, any immigration INS agent or whatever they call, because everybody knows that immigration agents is doing bad stuff too against them. But nobody talks about our people doing bad stuff against our people too over there. So it makes me angry, makes me, you know, shame on myself too, that these Mexican guys are raping, killing, and robbing, doing all those things against the immigrants over there, these poor innocent people crossing the border.
You know, one of the things that I think is very interesting about Jose, I had the opportunity, audience, to talk to Jose before this interview, and one of the things that he is very skilled in and has a lot of knowledge about is shamanic ritual from his native tribes in Mexico. One of the things I noticed throughout the film is that you use that kind of, it's almost like a trance state and the rattle to change from scene to scene. And I'm wondering about those particular elements, why you use those elements in the film. And I have a second question for you, too, that I wonder about. Is it because people don't have a sense of their own kind of place in the Mexican culture that they commit these kinds of crimes against their own people? There is such an inability to have safety in survival everywhere. For everyone, that people are driven to these kinds of acts.
Well,
Go ahead.
It's about power, like always in every part of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Talking about Arizona, California, New Mexico, and Texas, if you pay a little bit of attention about who's the immigrant, is the people, is the poor people, is the low-level people, medium to low, educational and economical system. So these people is the people who's forced by the system, by the economic, by the politics, is forced to move from their country. These people has a power. These people has a lot of energy. These people has a lot of spiritual power inside. But unfortunately, they don't have food. They don't have education. They're not able to go to the school, to attend to the school, so that's why these little situations makes these people to move from there, unfortunately, and to look for some other places to live better, and always El Norte, they call El Norte, which is the north. Everybody in Mexico says, I'm living to El Norte, means I'm going to north, you know?
Mm-hmm.
But it's because you don't see so much Mexican rich people living in this country in the United States because they don't have to, because also they pay for the power, because if they have any problem with their sons, family, or whatever, they just go and pay for it. And, you know, corruption is there in every corner of the country. So with money, you can do whatever you want over there, even though you are bad, good, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
You can move the world over there. If you are poor, they can put you in the jail without doing anything.
Right.
So those things make you think like that and then go like, you know what, you are afraid. You have to move, like I said in the show film, in the end of the show film, you know. We have to escape from our country because we are afraid to die in hands of these people, the power people, the police, the government, you know, because that's the truth about.
So how do people in Mexico, is there a way that they can gain power where they're at, or do they have to move? Is there any other choices?
No, but unfortunately for right now, to be honest with you, the only choice is to make another revolution like in 1910, the Mexican Revolution,
mm-hmm.
to move the whole thing, because we also are a result of, we have to see this very careful. Until 5 years ago, there was a 70 years of this party, the government party, governed the country for the last 70 years. Same party,
mm-hmm.
right? Same political party. So in these 70 years, they don't do education. We are a result of that thing. So because that thing happened, they don't pay the strong attention to that. They don't care at all. We now are a more low education people.
Yeah.
Result for so all those years over there. So now we can tell that there is more people with no education over there. With no education, you cannot do a lot. You cannot
right.
think better. You cannot fight for your rights better. So it's a matter about education. We're not gonna fix it in the next 5 years. We need to re-educate, go back to that point where we're gonna be able to talk and fight for our rights over there in our country.
Okay. So is that part of the reason, your drive to educate people, why you made this film?
Yes. And like you said before, it's not just in the films. Doing theater,
mm-hmm.
my plays, whatever I wrote, it's about that. It's some people criticize me because they said, instead of doing something with the community, with the Latino community and this and that, well, that's my way to do it. I don't hide things. I'm saying from face to face, you need to educate. That's the key. Here or in your country, back in your country or here, wherever, that's the key to fight, to tell the truth, to be able to show what you think, and with the line in your hands, you can do whatever you want. So I do it in my place, I do it in my histories and my little stories and my what else we doing here. I know the show films that we do before, you know.
Mm-hmm. So tell us about the philosophy of the mask and the training that you've had, as well as the shamanic training.
Philosophy of the mask is the philosophy that we follow in this theater technique. It's a technique of theater. Was created by two French men in the 40s, in 1940s. One of the men is Etienne Decroux and Antonin Artaud. Antonin Artaud, until today, I mean, until the present, and the theater community knows Antonin Artaud as the father of the modern theater, you know. And in 1938, Artaud traveled to Mexico, and he went to the so many different indigenous communities in Mexico, like the Tarahumaras and Chihuahua state,
mm-hmm.
like the Huicholes and Jalisco state, or like the Mayas and Chiapas state, and so many other different. He spent a couple of years studying and went to them, learning the highest spiritual way to think in this life. So after that, he become to this great idea and create this new philosophy and technique, which is the philosophy of the mask. When he went back to France, he got together with his friend Etienne Decroux, and then Etienne was the guy very popular in France with this body expression theater, more like corporal expression theater. So with his knowledge and then the Artaud knowledge, to get together and then create with this wonderful philosophy, which is try to avoid the words in the theater and represent your ideas with body language, with light, with fire, with sounds, with the stage, but try to avoid the words as much as you can. That's what it is.
Okay, so it's expressing the whole from a place of knowing who you are.
Yes, and everything is with your spirit, with your soul,
hmm.
you know?
So tell me how that connects with your shamanic work.
Me?
Yes.
I was in California, and when I start taking classes, theater classes, I know this teacher. He's a Mexican teacher living in California for last 25 years, and he learned this technique from one of the students from Arto. So I started taking these classes with him over there, and I take these classes for 8 years, and that's where I started. His name is Mario Sapien.
So it's one and the same. The spirituality and the shamanism is one and the same with the acting.
It's the same thing, yeah.
Now,
in this technique, yes.
What makes knowing who you are so important, especially to people in Mexico? How can that be so helpful?
Well,
in other words, is all of this disruption in terms of the culture, has that really brainwashed them to some regard to forgetting who they are?
Yeah, probably. I told you before, it's a result of so many years of working in them. Like, you know, if you raise a son, tell him that he can be a killer, he will be a killer later.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he will be a killer because you as a father, they trust you, they believe in you, or will be the result of this action every day, every week, every month, every year. So they believe they are like that. They believe they are like this. They don't care about education anymore because they've been living like that so many years. So who cares about? So we need to encourage. We need to tell them directly, face to face, what is the reality? What is inside of you? Because that's the things that you cannot hide. Those things you cannot hide. Once we need just to move a little bit inside to tell them, this is what you got, this is where you belong, this is what you are. You have a wonderful power inside. Your spiritual power is, like, amazing. So wake up, become, like, you know, the ancient Aztecs, the ancient Mayas, the ancient, those people think, respect the natural, respect the people, each other, respect the environment, respect the power, respect everything, the family, father, mother, grandfathers, all the family members, because the respect was there. Their lives were better all the time, better, no question at all. So we need to understand that and just try to be a little bit better. But how are you going to find that? Loving each other first, loving yourself, knowing where you come from, where you are, and where you what else you can do, how many power you have inside. You have just to find out a little bit there.
So what I'm hearing is you saying that if people can get into different roles and come from this instinctual place of all of this kind of body net language that the body remembers in terms of its ancestral heritage, then you can move into different roles and find out who you are and express yourself from exploration about who you are.
Mm-hmm. You're right. The body needs to relearn, let's call it like that. It's there. They just need to relearn a little bit more about, you know. Once they find out, we have to scratch a little bit over there in their hearts and their souls, because the knowledge and the power is there.
Now, tell me, you teach these classes here in Phoenix, right?
Yes.
Okay. Now, tell me, can you give me an example? I'm just real curious. Can you give me an example of somebody who's gone through the classes, maybe that hasn't been educated, it doesn't know who they are, and doesn't have a sense of their place, and suddenly they begin to take these classes, and what happens?
Two things. One, the smart people, they just love it, and they go like, finally I found whatever I was looking for. Where you were before, and you know, they tell you there's so many funny things about, oh my God, I love this. I don't know too much, I don't understand too much, but I got the feeling that this is what I was looking for. It's really strong, really powerful. And then the other story is the poor people, I'm talking about the poor in their souls and their heart. They don't, They don't have a sense of life. They don't care because they are afraid.
Mm-hmm.
Could be two faces. Once they see the class, they go like, "No, this is too much for me.
Mm-hmm.
This technique is gonna push me to tell my truth about my life from myself to myself." And I don't want that right now. I don't want that risk because the technique pushes to that. It's not only a theater technique. It's a way of life. Philosophy of the mask is a way of life. The technique pushes you,
even though
you don't want it.
Well, now I'm getting a real, very good understanding of this. This is so awesome. So this is actually, to me, it's a type of psychological therapy. That's how I'm hearing it. It's not just an acting technique, as you're saying, but it's really saying, hey, look, you know, whatever you are has to come out, and you can't deny it anymore.
Yes.
Even though,
and it says the door is right there. If you don't want it, you can leave it any time. Nobody's going to force you to do anything, you know? And people are like, wow, I mean, this guy is not pushing me. The technique is not pushing me, like, with words, but with job, with work, once you notice you are inside, the technique is going to push you, even though you don't want it, by its own, you know?
Okay, so, yeah, I'm getting you. So what this is about is you're saying that once people are in their own psychological process, they can't go back. They have to go forward because they're in that process.
Yes, because in a couple classes, 2, 3 classes, 4, you're going to learn a lot. And you quit. Once you quit, after 2, 3 weeks, you're going to feel like, oh, my God, I'm missing this, I'm missing that, whatever I learned. You know? And I realized it was good, and, oh, I wish I can go back because now I see the light different. And I feel like I'm missing something because I was short in that, so I would love to go back to learn more about it. Finally, I understand that, you know, that's what happened.
Well, this is really fascinating to me. I just think this is just incredible. I really want to thank you for sharing this because I think it's just so fascinating because it's, to me, it just sounds like an experiential technique so that you can face your issues, your life issues, and you can work on them. So, and in a way, that is really about getting in touch with your instincts and your ancestors and all of those energies that are really buried in your ancestral heritage, which is your place. So I think this is really interesting. So you must have a lot of people that begin to go through this process. And I bet there's different developmental stages and a lot of catharsis. So I bet you have a lot of people like breaking down and crying, a lot of grief issues, all sorts of things probably come up.
We have everything there. Like I told you before, crying, this and that, all the people against you because they think, you know, they criticize you because they say, oh, you think you know everything. You feel like you can fix the life of everybody. And I go like, no. First of all, you came here because you wanted. I don't call anybody. I don't go and find people. I don't go and ask people, hey, you want to be in my class?
Mm-hmm.
Nobody, not at all. Everybody who's in my class is because somebody tells to somebody, you know, my mouth by mouth, by words or whatever. So I tell them, I don't call you here. You are here because you want it, and you can leave anytime you want it. So we have, you know, different things of ways, different characters, different people think different, and we have it's not just happiness there, you know, because
I wouldn't think so. not with all the tragic things that are happening. There would not be just happiness. There would be, like you're saying, there would be a lot of anger.
Oh yes,
that would definitely come out.
Yeah, but the technique says you cannot become a great actor if you are not clean inside. Same thing in the life. You cannot become a good human being until you are clean inside of you. So the technique shows you both. You know, you first of all you need to be a you need to feel like a complete human being to if you want to be an actor. You need to do that first. You need to clean inside. You need to know who you are, where you come from. And then you can, after that, accept that, working with that, with your beautiful heritage, with your beautiful background over there, and then you can start learning acting, because acting is something really strong. I don't teach this, you know, this cheap way to act, you know, like commercials or things like that. This is a really strong technique. Not easy. Really, really, really strong, we can say.
Wow. Do you have people that are afraid at first but then go through the process as you were talking about it?
Oh, yes. We have people. Yeah.
And what happens? I mean, can you think of one particular example? Without naming names.
I can tell you, two examples. I mean, you can, me as a teacher also, you can learn a lot in life from these people too. Some people get into the classes they want it big time, they want to do that. Once they pass 2-3 classes, they realize it's really strong for them. And then sometimes you can get people over there, you can tell like, oh, these people, this guy or this girl, is going to be hard for her to face this technique.
Mm-hmm.
And then you realize that the quiet people sometimes is the most strong people there. I have one particular example over there right now. It's this lady, a young lady, 22 years old from mm-hmm. Chihuahua State. She used to spend her time only drinking in the bars
mm-hmm.
over here, and the Hispanic bars, dancing every week from Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday. That was her life, working in the week and then spending the money in that, which is the very same story in the most of the young Hispanic people here, not attending to the university, trying to do something better for their life, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And she was very crazy, very, you know, wild. We can tell wild. She didn't care anything. She just wants to be a model and actress, you know, actor. But once she started taking these classes over there, she began to realize that there's something more and more and more. And she looked like, you know, excuse my language, but she looks like a dummy, stupid girl over there in the class.
Mm-hmm.
Now she's taking a great advantage of this class, and she's doing great in that. Like I told you, sometimes you see, like, this guy with a lot of energy, and they want it big time, and then after 2-3 classes, they quit. So you never know. You never know.
That's amazing. So I imagine that what you're saying is that some people, like this particular young woman, they find courage inside themselves.
Oh, yes.
And strength that they just didn't know they had.
Uh-huh.
That is an amazing thing. And you offer these classes free?
Yes, all the time free, because that's the way that they teach me always. Like my teachers told me that the knowledge that you got it, el conocimiento, they call conocimiento, which is knowledge, wherever you go in this world, until you die, you have to do this for free, because we give you this knowledge for free, which is the way that everybody has to do it in this life. So that's the way I'm doing it, and I don't care, and I'm not planning to do something different, because every time that you do something good for somebody else, I mean, your soul is getting bigger and bigger and bigger, and the richness in your heart it's unbelievable.
Mm, that's beautiful. I love that. All that wonderful abundance energy. That's beautiful. So tell me about you personally. How did this philosophy affect you personally?
Big time. It changed me from 1 to 100 and everything. The way I respect the life, the way we as a Latino community, we have this thing that is not really good for us, mostly in the 90% of the community. We always leave the things to do the next day or some other day.
Mm-hmm.
We don't, you know, we don't respect the time. We don't respect the other. Like if I tell you something, if I make a commitment with you, we don't pay too much attention and we don't believe it's very important. So I learned how to keep my word and everything that I said. It is a big issue in our community. And, I mean, it changed me to be a better person every day. The kid that you see in the short film, the little kid, he's my son.
Ah!
You won't believe it, but that's the first time that I imagine me as a father doing that to my son in the movie, you know? But he was great. It's his project, his first project as an actor. And he was amazing too. I feel bad, but you know, as a father, I feel really good because he was there. He learned. He lives in California. He lives over there with his mother. You know, we are in contact all the time. But finally, he had the opportunity. So the technique also showed me how to handle these situations, like you know. I'm separate from my son, but he's spending time with me. We're like a big friends. Techniques show me how to talk to my son, to how to handle these situations, to how to going back to understand my father's, and reinvent a new way to communicate, because my father's are from the. Very conservative education, you know, in the back. My father is 82 years old. Can you imagine? He's 82. I'm 32. So he's like, he was born, I think, in 1927.
Wow.
So when I was young, we, you know, like everybody has a lot of problems, these and that, because, you know. And so they, I also understand that I have never judged anybody. Never judge your father, your mother, and try to understand where they live, when they live, how they live. That's the result. That's why it's how they are now. So I learned so many things. Well, I don't remember everything right here and right now, but I learned a lot of things there. It changed my life completely, you know. And it's not a religion, okay?
No, but it sounds like what you're saying is that the most important thing about it is to be present with yourself, inside of yourself, and to have that knowledge about yourself in truth, which then gives you a place. And if you do that, then, of course, you're automatically connected to all your ancestors, past, future, and and your community.
Yes, yes. People look you like a... like different, you know, they feel you. Once you show up in the place or whatever, they can feel that energy. They know you are something different, and everybody can do it. Everybody can try and do it because they have it inside. They have it inside, and yeah, connects you with everything, with the past, with the present, with the future, with everybody, because you learn and you know how to handle the situations, you know. Obviously, everybody makes mistakes. I'm doing my mistakes, and I think I will do more mistakes in the future. But the way
chances are, Jose.
Yes. The way that you have to think is like, try to do the less mistakes as you can and learn from every mistake, you know, and say, I won't do it again. I won't do it again. I won't do it again. And obviously, everybody's going to make a mistake. But the way is, always be conscious that you can be better every day.
So tell us about all of your projects, because you have a lot of things going on that you've done, that you're presently doing, that you're, I'm certain, looking forward to doing.
we're doing right now, preparing a play in Spanish. It calls Los del Medio, those from the middle. I think the translation is like this. Los del Medio means we are in the middle.
Yeah, wow.
I wrote this play because it's about these people like me living in this country, spending 10, 15, 20, 30 years, but we were born in Mexico and some other countries in Latin America, and then we spend important time of our lives here. So we feel like, because we are not a Chicanos or Mexican-Americans, we are Latinos or Mexicans, came from our countries, So we learned our culture over there, and then we came here, and then we learned our culture over here, another language, and we feel like we are in the middle of something, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Because even though we say, oh, I'm Mexican, oh, I'm a, you know, I'm from Salvador, and I feel very proud. Once you spend 10, 15, 20 years in this country, what you eat, what you think, what you talk, what you act, how you do everything here, even though you don't want it, it changes you inside too. It changes you. You don't realize because you don't feel like in the skin, but it changes you, you know? So that's
what are some of the changes that happen?
Excuse me?
What are some of the changes?
Because it's a natural result, I think. I mean,
yeah, it's definitely a natural result, but what happens to people?
Well, funny, let me tell you a funny story about that. They
mm-hmm.
they came from Mexico. They went to the college, spent 3 years in the college taking English classes, and then after 3 years, they don't want to speak Spanish. They feel Americans.
Okay.
You know,
mm-hmm.
because they are poor inside. They don't realize what they are. So those things happen, you know. Some other people start talking Spanish, English, Spanish, you know. And some other people, they don't want a 16 years old, 17 years old girl came from Mexico and then start doing taking classes here in the college after 3 years. If there's any the party or the prom party,
mm-hmm.
they don't want. She doesn't want the parents went to their party because she feels shame of them. You know,
mm-hmm.
things like that happen. We change. We don't want to go back to our country because we feel better. We feel like Americans. We feel like we know more because we live in the USA. You know, things like that happen.
So how do you heal that kind of shame? Because I imagine that's part and parcel of what you're doing, or at least it feels like a side effect of what you're doing in terms of your education.
I criticize all the time that I can, and every opportunity that I have, I criticize, and I tell them in their faces. Even though it's my family or some other people, I don't care, you know?
Mm-hmm.
I'm not afraid to do that. I tell them, you know? Whenever that I feel they make mistakes about you, you know, I tell them, you should learn a little bit more about your culture. You should, before you start denying your culture or your country, learn about your country because you don't know anything. Once you know, now you're not going to deny it anymore. You will see that, you know. I tell them, I don't care. Yeah. And
right.
I get in a lot of trouble for that.
I bet you do get a lot of trouble. I was just going to ask you, what does your community think about you?
Well, some people hate me. Yeah, to be honest with you, some people, they think, like, no, you know, I told you before, this guy thinks that he knows everything and blah, 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 and this and that. Well, it's because they are afraid, Rochelle. They are afraid to face their truth. They don't care. They prefer living in this bubble, you know, light
mm-hmm.
bubble and living like that. They don't care.
Mm. So I imagine that you do get a lot more than this one particular person. But do you get a lot of support as well?
Oh, yes. Big time, too. I have a lot of beautiful and great friends and, you know, community leaders, too, like the radio stations here, the TV stations, the newspapers, the city, you know. I don't know, you know, Phil Gordon. Well, everybody knows the mayor, right?
Mm-hmm.
Phil Gordon and his assistants. His assistant is from Ecuador. Very, very good community guy, Gerardo Higginson, that's his name. And so many connections, so many good connections, because they know we're doing something really strong for them. Every project that we have, like, you know, they support us as much as they can. Like Gerardo Higginson from the city of Phoenix helped us to find the locations to film this short film that we were talking about before, Pasos.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so I can tell I have more friends than enemies, okay? So
that's
don't be
a good
afraid.
Thing. That's the way you want it. That's the way we all want it.
You know, we see so many also, I would like to tell you this, we fix so many families also. You know, we went to the families. When I have some students in my classes, they talk to me and they tell, you know what, I think this thing that I'm learning here is going to affect all my family because they cannot deny that. And they invite me, they tell me the problems that they have in their families and everything. We start talking and the family is open to fix those little problems over there. We start working on them also because the technique has a way to start working on that. And I have parents, you know, very, very friend of mine that their sons were my students and now they're doing some people are working in the radio and the TV stations as the reporters or, you know, anchors or whatever. And now they are my friends too, you know, they're parents. I'm very proud of that too.
Very cool. Can you break down the technique? I realize that this is radio and it's kind of hard to see it because you're talking about using body language and anything other than words. But I'm just real curious about, like, what is your first class like, for example? What do people do? What is their experience?
First class to talk to them is we just get in the room, and then everybody has to have cover eyes with a rope or whatever. You cover your eyes,
mm-hmm.
and then start walking in the room with no view. And then I start making sounds, weird sounds, and touch them and the particular parts, and then tell them things about. And making like they don't have any tools in their life to defend, you know. First class are to make them like empty. We need to...
Like a shamanic death.
Yes, something like that.
That is so awesome. Okay, so basically you're telling them, you're making sounds and you're telling them things, like what kind of things?
Well, each class is different.
Just pick one in your mind. One of the many.
Well, sometimes it's like a theater way, sometimes it's like a psychological, like you said before,
mm-hmm.
let's see. Oh my God, you got me now. It's hard to tell you the phone because I need to be in front of the people. I need to be with the guys, you know, with the students. I need the bodies to work with them so I can tell the stuff, you know.
Right, because I imagine, for example, that this would bring up a lot of fear for some people. For some other people, it might bring up anger. And for some other people, they might just be standing there, not walking around at all.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so what would you say to somebody, for example, who's not walking around at all?
I didn't say anything. I just leave it over there, take it out the rope in their eyes,
mm-hmm.
and then she or he can see whatever the other people is doing it. And I don't tell them, like, come on, you have to, whatever, you know?
Uh-huh.
I just leave it over there, open their eyes to see, and then he will decide if we want to become part of that team or he can leave, and the door is right there. And I tell him, if you don't feel good, you can leave any time, buddy, or you can join them.
Okay.
But I don't push them like a, come on, you have to. You are part of this team. We are not an army, you know. Sometimes this works better, you know, because the people, you make the people like, oh, my God, shame on me, you know.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not doing anything, and he's not telling me anything. And I feel like, I guess I have to do it even though, you know. They stand up and we start doing the thing, you know.
So what do people experience? Just from this, what kind of examples do people experience just from this kind of example alone?
Oh, some people, like you were saying before, they cry a lot. They start talking about their problems, mostly family problems, you know. Can you hear me?
Yep.
Yeah, mostly like family problems, you know, their age problems, and they start like accepting so many things, bad things, you know, and they like start to realize like, this is gonna clean me. This is what I need, and so many different reactions. Other people just keeping quiet and not believing in those things. They think like it's not for them.
Mm-hmm.
It's very amazing. It's very amazing because it's hard to explain to you in the phone like what are the reactions, because every human being has a different reaction. Every person has a different reaction there.
So I imagine that after every kind of exercise like this, you process it, that everybody kind of sits down and talks about it, is what you're saying, and that they come away feeling, like you said, in a different place.
Uh-huh.
Which is so awesome, whatever that place is for each one individual, and then they're going to bring that place to the next exercise.
Yes.
That is so awesome. How interesting. And it sounds like it's all experiential.
Yes, it is, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay, so what kind of other things do you do?
Well, writing a book also.
Mm-hmm.
Years ago, to be honest with you, I haven't finished it because, you know, so many projects behind me. As an actor, also been working, you know, separate from these projects. Me as a professional actor doing commercials, appearing in so many different things.
Mm-hmm.
This book that I was telling you, the name is The Desert Horses. In Spanish is Los Caballos del Desierto.
Mm-hmm.
And The Desert Horses is about a kind of real and fictional story about a guy who came from Mexico looking for his son that never crossed the border. He doesn't know anything about him, so the father, 45, 50 years old father, came to look for it, and then he died in the desert. And then after that, something magical happened because he went to some other dimensions. So there is that, when the fiction becomes in the book. It's a very interesting book about, tells you something like the desert kill people because they need these people to save another people in the desert. So that is why some people die in the desert, you know. Yeah. So I'm doing that book. Hopefully I finish this year, this book. It's a very, very long story.
It sounds very interesting. Now, what were you saying? Some people die in the desert because the desert needs them to die in the desert?
Yes. Well, it's part of the story. I was trying to tell you that that is when the fiction starts there, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It's because in my story it says that some people die in the desert because the desert needs these people. So the desert kills them in the magical way,
mm-hmm.
let's say, and then because they need it, because the desert takes these people to another dimension, and then in that dimension these people become savers, come back to the desert and save some other people to cross the border.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Very interesting. So again, it has all those shamanic elements of moving from one place to another in terms of dimension.
You can see, yes. Yeah.
That is so awesome. Which is just like your acting classes.
Mm-hmm.
Of just going from one place to another. That is so cool. We were just talking about that last night on another radio show I was doing with Mary Sutherland. Anyway, about how people are being accelerated on this planet to learn how to move from one place to another.
Uh-huh.
So that we can all be in that internal space inside of ourselves, and we can look at the world from that magical space, because that's what it is. When you go inside of yourself and you're operating from that place inside of yourself, you automatically create a connection with the source and a connection with the past and the present and the future. And it opens up to a flow that creates magical things to happen. So it becomes another world.
If the human being takes at least a couple hours to really learn the richness of their souls and their minds, I mean, it will be, the world would be amazing. They don't know the power of the minds. They don't, they just imagine they see in the TV shows or whatever, you know, but if they really, if at least they can pay a couple hours to attention and for them, it will be great. The change will be great in this world, you know. You can do whatever you want with your soul, with your mind. Once you can handle it and you can really handle it, you can understand your soul, you can understand your spiritual power. I mean, you can do whatever you want.
And that's precisely what we were talking about last night, is that power that you're talking about, that absolute freedom that we can, that we can actually create. And that's what I think is happening on this planet right now, is people like you and like me and other people who are engaged in knowing about who they are in inside of themselves, that creates their own space, so therefore automatically it helps create another space for other people to join in and knowing themselves. So it's so cool what you're doing. I really appreciate it.
All right. Thank you.
Yeah. That is just so awesome, because it does make, it can't do anything but make the planet a better place. It has to.
I believe so. I believe so.
That
yeah.
is so cool. Now, if people want to get a hold of you, let's talk about, first off, where your play is going to be, or is that coming to a culmination yet?
We are working right now, almost done, deal with the Glendale Community College, GCC,
mm-hmm.
and I think we are going to present this play in June over there.
Wonderful.
Plus, we are looking for, start talking with Phoenix College to present the plays. We're not sure if we're going to present this in Phoenix College, but so far until now, that's the only two places that we have it. If somebody else knows any other small theater that we can present this, we are like open to go anywhere in the country to present this kind of play, because that's why we made this play, you know, people to see that play. And for right now, it's important to tell you also that I'm not a, I don't own an organization like with the building and stuff. I mean, we don't have anything. We look for the places to rehearse, to present. We produce our stuff with the money. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
And it's kind of hard to. We don't have any you know, support, economic support from the government or whatever. I just do it by myself, you know. Step by step, you know.
Yes. So if people out there can lend Jose Antonio, and I hope I pronounce this right,
Acegueda.
Okay, thank you.
Acegueda.
Thank you. A hand in supporting his work, that's going to make the world a better place. So please do so. Now, how can people get a hold of you? Your film, Pesos?
Pasos.
Pasos. Thank you.
Yeah. Yeah. They can call me. I don't know if I can give you my number and air, or...
You can give it out to the public. It's up to you. Or your email, whatever you feel comfortable with.
No, that'll be fine. That'll be fine. I'll give you two cell numbers that they can reach me. I have these two numbers with me all the time. 602-446-1311 and 602-684-0323. That's the numbers. And then let me give you my email. It's very easy. Azul Entertainment. Azul is A-Z-U-L, means blue. Azul Entertainment at Cox.net.
Now, did you come up with that name yourself?
Yes.
Why
blue? It's a color that I just love it, azul. It's a blue color. So I love it.
Yeah, I was just wondering because it's also the color of the throat chakra in communication, which I think
is yeah, something like that. So you know a lot about this.
I've been around a little bit.
That because I thought it would be a little bit complicated to explain. You know, it's a long, long explanation about that. Yeah.
Very cool. Well, I just so appreciate your work, and I so appreciate what you're doing. And where are your classes being held? They're being held here at a community college, as you say?
The classes right now we're doing, we're taking place right now in the ASU.
Wonderful.
Yeah, but it's for free. We just take a room because one of the students, two, three of the students are part of the university. So they take the place to rehearse because they give it the opportunity because they're part of the university. So I'm glad we're taking the classes in the right rooms and in the right space and the right place over there. Everybody's welcome to come to the classes anytime. And we take classes every Thursday from 7 p.m. to 10. And if they want to know a little bit about this more, just give me a call to the numbers that I just gave it to you, and we'll give you the more information about.
Wonderful, wonderful. And that's Arizona State University, just for people who may not know what ASU is. And that is such a terrific opportunity. I bet you've helped so many people because it's not necessarily about getting the acting job. It's really about getting your life back.
Of life, like I told you before, yeah. It's not only a theater technique. It's a way of life, yeah.
That is so cool. Well, again, I just so appreciate having you on. And I so appreciate your work and what you're doing for the community. I bet one of the things that is an outcome of this is that you're really bringing people together in a very united way. It's almost like I couldn't imagine that it can't organize a whole lot of people together.
Yes, it's hard, but for me, it's my life. It's what I learned, it's what I love to do, you know, to touch them. It's great when you see a guy changing, saying, crying and saying, like, you know, this thing really changed me. That was great. This thing makes me face my truth about whatever. And I, you know, I confront my truth and I fix things that I have to fix, and you know, it's wonderful. It's hard, but it's great. It's wonderful.
It's hard like the movie, but it's also wonderful too.
Yes. Yes.
It's so cool. It's wonderful to see the truth. Very cool. All right. Next up is the Dawn and Wynn Show. Thank you so much, Dawn, producer. And next week, same bat time, same bat channel, I'm going to be having two guests on who are going to be channeling Princess Diana. So stay tuned for that particular show. I'm sure a lot of information is going to be coming out regarding world politics and earth changes. And we will be talking live, of course, next Saturday at 5 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, and we will be taking calls. So stay tuned for that particular show, too. And it's just been an absolute pleasure having you, Jose, and an absolute pleasure having the audience out there. I so appreciate all of you. And stay in your own process. It is a way of life.
Thank you very much, and it was a pleasure to me to be in your show, too, Rochelle, anytime. And first of all, excuse my English because I'm not really good in English, but I hope you can understand my explanations about whatever questions you ask me, okay?
Your English was perfection. It's my Spanish that I was having trouble with, in case you didn't notice.
Thank you.
But
audience.
I need you to correct me, which is a good thing.
Yeah.
So no, you were just wonderful, and yes, and your next project when you get it all done, we'll have you back again.
Not a problem. Thank you very, very much.
Thank you, and you all take care out there. Have a very good evening.
Thank you.
Bye bye now.
You have been listening to BBS Radio, a blogandservice.com production and a service to others endeavor. Thank you very much for tuning into our radio program. and we wish you much peace, joy on your journey.